Hi, I'm Liz Bergstrom, and you're listening to PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, a podcast about soul care, scripture, and stories of faith. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and share it with your friends. Enjoy!
Welcome to PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, the podcast. I'm Jenny Detweiler. This episode is going to be about a faith story that just so happens to be mine, because I've been asking other people to tell their faith stories, and I realized if they're going to be so vulnerable to do that, and it really can be a vulnerable thing to share your story with who knows how many people, then I really probably need to lead the way in that. So today I'm going to share one of my own faith stories. Really, I have quite a few faith stories that I could choose from, but this one is kind of fundamental to who I am and really solidified my faith, so to speak. So I'm going to start with this one. So to start from the beginning, I became a Christian when I was 4 years old, and I grew up really a good girl. Like, I really didn't get into drugs or alcohol or any of those kind of testimonies that you hear people tell. But when I was a senior in high school, I developed anorexia nervosa. I would not wish that on anyone. It is horrible. It was a really dark time in my life. I certainly did not set out to develop an eating disorder. I don't think anyone wakes up and says, you know, I think I'd really like to develop an eating disorder. I think I'd be good at that. It wasn't anything like that. I just decided kind of in the middle of my senior year that I wanted to lose 5 pounds. I mean, it seemed pretty innocent. I had just finished up marching band, which I really loved, and senior year is full of all kinds of goodbyes to things that you've done for 4 years. There was a big unknown coming up because I had applied for college, but I didn't really know, you know, what that was going to look like or anything. And so I think a lot of things just sort of combined all at one time, and that was the result, unfortunately. Some people can drink alcohol and not become alcoholics, and some people can do a diet and not develop an eating disorder. I didn't happen to be one of those people. So by the end of my senior year, I was not doing very well. And I mean, I was performing well still, really, in school. My grades had not gone down or anything like that. But physically, I was just not really in a good place. Certainly mentally, I was not in a good place. And my parents took me to the doctor who diagnosed me in the end. And surprisingly, it came, well, as a surprise. I mean, you would think I would have known that I had anorexia, but I really didn't. I wouldn't have called it that. I thought anorexia was kind of for crazy people. And I had it. It was a dark time, not just for me, but for my family, because they were watching their daughter starve, basically, and they didn't know what to do. I think it was terrifying probably for them. Not that I want to glorify it or go into great detail about it, but just to give some context, I'm certainly not going to go into numbers because I think that that can be a trigger for people. But I will say that what had happened to me basically was that I was cold all the time. My hair was falling out. My clothes didn't fit very well. And mentally, I was sort of like all over the place, kind of neurotic. What happens when people starve is that they begin to think about food all the time. That's a natural consequence, and it kind of makes your brain become obsessive. And so I'd be sitting in classes, and every time I wasn't occupied with something mentally, I would be kind of obsessively going over calories in my head. Everywhere I was only half present, partly because the eating disorder just takes up so much energy and mental space, I think. Probably anyone that's dealt with an eating disorder or substance abuse would understand what I'm talking about. So by the end of my senior year, while everybody else was graduating and going on senior trips and all that kind of stuff, I graduated and then spent the summer in a treatment facility for eating disorders. I guess you could kind of call it a hospital. And I spent the summer mostly outpatient, some inpatient. My plan had been to go to Berry College starting in the fall, but due to the fact that I wasn't stabilized, really, they put that off until January, and I spent my first semester of college at home, working part-time, still seeing my dietitian, going to counseling, and then community college. And then I was able to finally transfer in January when I was kind of more stabilized. And I'd say for maybe the next year or so after that, I made a lot of progress. I would not say that the eating disorder was gone. It certainly was not. But I was able to move to a new college, make friends. I mean, I was really growing in my faith, I think, getting to live on my own for a little while and that kind of thing. Really, my weight had gone back to a really pretty healthy place. But I certainly would not say that the eating disorder was gone. It kind of manifested in some different ways during that time. And then my sophomore year of college, it really kind of came back with a vengeance. I had moved to an apartment. It wasn't off campus, but it was like in the middle of nowhere on the campus. And so I was feeling a lot more isolated. I think there were just a lot of things that happened probably that sort of made it rear its ugly head again. So by that spring, my weight had dropped again. Before I went to college, we made a plan that if my weight dropped below a certain number, then I would have to leave college. And I was getting really close to that. And so I think in the back of my mind, I knew that. And so in April, I think, I had an appointment with a dietitian. But I'm going to backtrack for a minute because there was a really important thing that happened that spring. I had gone home. I don't know if it was for a weekend or if it was a break from school. I'm not really sure what had happened, but I remember sitting in the car with my mom, and I guess you could call it a fight, but not really. I mean, she, I think, expressed some frustration. I'm sure that she was extremely frustrated with me. Like, how could I? They'd invested so much money, time, energy. Like, I was doing counseling, all these kinds of things, and still I couldn't seem to get ahead. I mean, this was like 2 years in. How frustrating. I don't know all of what was going on. I know I was frustrated with where I was, just very emotional. And I remember praying to God that if it was never going to get better than that, if I was always going to struggle with an eating disorder, if there he didn't really have a plan for me beyond that, then could he just take me home? See, even now, talking about it, I get just a little emotional. And I did not hear anything back, actually. Like, there was no lightning bolt. I didn't die on the spot, anything like that. But I will just say, I would not suggest putting the Lord to the test like that. I do not think that's a wise idea. Certainly, it is not. I think the Bible even says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. But I'm just telling you that my 19-year-old self did. I didn't hear anything back. But 2 weeks later, I had an appointment, a dietitian appointment in Atlanta. And it was a Monday. And I had to drive all by myself from college, which was in Rome, Georgia, down to Atlanta on a Monday afternoon. And I went to the appointment and everything was fine getting there and everything. I will say the night before, I was really worried about it, and I was at a small group with some of my college friends, and I asked for prayer for the appointment. I think really I knew what was at stake because I knew that my weight had dropped and that I might have to leave college. And so I asked for prayer for that appointment. I just remember the college pastor praying about it, and he prayed for my safety, and I thought that was really weird and kind of frustrating because I'm like, you just don't get it. That's not what I'm asking prayer for. But it ended up that that's what I needed prayer for. So here's where the story gets pretty amazing. So the next day I went to the dietitian appointment and it didn't really go well. I left in a pretty low place. She didn't tell me I had to leave college, but I was really at the lowest weight that I had been in a couple of years. And I knew I had to go back that night after making the drive back through Atlanta at rush hour and write a term paper, and it just so happened that I was writing for a religion class, and I was doing a paper about the study of angels, which is ironic. So I just prayed real quick for protection, encouragement, and strength, because I was just really in a low place. So it was about 5:45 in the afternoon, and it was April 8th, 2002, and I will always remember that date. there was so much traffic. So for anyone who's driven through Atlanta, it's not like a two-lane sweet little road. It's like six lanes, four lanes, five lanes, sometimes eight lanes of traffic. And if you're there at any time, it's rush hour, but especially at certain times. And I would say 5:45 is certainly one of those times. And so there was so much traffic, and I remember a pickup truck was coming over into my lane, and I tried to correct and ended up hitting the back end of an 18-wheeler to my right, which flipped my car over, and I skidded down the highway upside down. And I'll tell you what I remember about that. I don't remember sounds. I don't remember sights. I just remember black, like I must have had my eyes closed, and time stood still. And in an instant, I remembered exactly what I had prayed. And I just knew, like, this is the moment he heard me. Oh, my goodness, he might be about to take me home. And I think I was praying, but not really in words, you know, but he and I were definitely having a conversation. All of a sudden, the car came to a stop and everything went quiet. And all I could think was, oh, the car's going to explode. I've got to get out of here, which is kind of a weird thing to think, but that's what I thought. And so I don't really know how I got out of the car, to be honest, because I was upside down. And so I don't really remember any of that. I just know that I made it out of the car. And when I got out, there was like a semicircle of cars. Like, it, I cannot tell you how amazing it is that no one hit me, but no one hit me. As I was skidding down the highway, no one. And when I got out, there was a semicircle of cars where they had parked. And there was my car just obliterated. And single-handedly, I managed to stop traffic. Sorry for all you people that were stopped in traffic that day. All my stuff was strewn across the highway. And people were getting out of their cars and bringing the things back to me. And I made a list in my little journal of all the things that had flown out of my car onto the highway. And here are things that people brought back to me. My Bible, my cell phone, my checkbook, my purse, which I continued to use after that just because it was a good story. It had like a streak mark on the bottom of it and a hole in it at the very bottom where you could see that it like skidded across the highway. My book bag, my jumper cables, even a little Cross air freshener that I'd hung on my rearview mirror. All those things flew out of my car onto the highway and people just like picked them up and carried them over to me like, here, honey, I can't believe you survived. That was crazy. There was one lady named Jody that I am forever grateful for. She stopped her car and she let me use her cell phone to call my mom. I was bleeding out my mouth. I like walked out. There really were no injuries except that my teeth went through my upper lip. And so I had to get stitches and I was bleeding. And she offered me like a towel to bleed on. And she also gave me a cell phone to call my mom, waited with me while the paramedics came. She even offered to take me to the hospital if I wanted, if I didn't want the ambulance to take me. But we ended up going with the ambulance. Then she followed me to the hospital with all my things, found me in the hospital, dropped off all my things, made sure I was okay. Afterwards, my mom really wondered if she was an angel because she never got to meet her and I never got a last name and then she just sort of disappeared. I don't know if she was. I think she was probably real. I guess I'll find out one day. But Jody, if you're out there, thank you so much for what you did. The paramedics and the doctors all said things like, wow, that's amazing that you just walked away from that. I just remember, I don't know exactly what I said, but something like, no, you don't understand, like, it was God. God saved me. The doctor said that I had really great faith. I'm like, no, you don't get it. Like, if you knew the whole story, you would be amazed too. Like, really, God saved me. And I just had this sense of knowing, like, that that was the answer to my prayer, that I had, I did have a purpose beyond that, that I was going to get over this thing. And that if he had to stop traffic to show me that, then that's what he was going to do. So my mom came to the hospital and I was released with an okay with only six stitches in my lip.
I just walked away. And the next day, my mom and I went to go look at the car. And it was a mess. I mean, the whole thing was totaled. The whole passenger side was crushed in where the semi had hit it. And my side was pretty protected, really. It was pretty amazing to look at. I think my mom was kind of blown away about it. And so we were talking about it on the way home. And I remember saying, I just felt so out of control. And I heard the Lord speak to me. This is really the only time I've ever heard it audibly. It wasn't outside my head. It was inside my head. My mom didn't hear it or anything, but it was deep and booming. And he said, you were out of control, but I had you, didn't I? And he really illustrated how much he cared for me by all the things that happened that day, all the things that led up to it, and all the things that happened afterwards. I missed a Bible study that I usually went to on Monday nights. It ended up afterwards. I found out that around the time of the accident, or soon afterwards, all my friends were praying for me, unbeknownst to me. People had been praying for me because my family had had people praying for me. I can't tell you all the little things, partly because I don't even remember them now, partly because there's lots of just random, seemingly random events that happened around that time that, you know, God just used to work together for good. And he had really been speaking to me about Psalm 91, about how he would keep those who love him safe. And, well, he certainly did that for me, and I'm really thankful. And the reason I wanted to share this particular story is because it was super foundational to who I am as a person and my faith. Because up until that time, I wouldn't say I didn't have faith, because I think I always have. Like, I always knew. I don't remember a time that I didn't know Jesus, and I'm really thankful for that. But I think there's a difference in knowing about him and reading about him and experiencing him. So when I fell off a ledge, he caught me, and that's how I experienced him. And so anytime something really horrible or awful or even unknown has happened since that time, I can always go back and say, if he could save me from that, he can save me from this. I think him just speaking to me that, yes, I was out of control, but he had me, has been really foundational to my anxiety. I will not say that miraculously all the eating disorder stuff just went away right away as soon as that happened, because that's not really true. I don't think that may happen for some people, but it's unrealistic for the average person. In fact, the statistics on recovery are not good to begin with. And at that hospital that I went to, I think my parents were really, really discouraged with statistics about recovery for eating disorders. But I will say that that was a major turning point. I continued to have thoughts for probably years afterwards, but it really changed the direction of my life and my hope for the future, even my desire and will to live and experience new things and do things. And so I'm just so thankful for that. There were a lot of instrumental things that happened during that time, but I'll say one of the more encouraging things was after I left that hospital, they weren't going to let me discharge without having a counselor. And so my family found this really great Christian counselor that I saw really from, I guess, through the first couple of years of school. When I was living at home, I saw her in person. And then as I went to college, we would do some phone calls and things like that. And then I would see her again when I came home. She was really helpful for me for a few reasons. Number one, she was really good listener and super supportive. But number two, she did disclose to me in a really healthy and appropriate way that she too had struggled with an eating disorder. And by the time I saw her, she was probably in her mid to late 30s, I'm going to guess. And she had 3 kids and a job and was healthy and happy and married. And I think just to see somebody like, oh, wow, look, you can survive this and be a cool and normal and healthy person who really loves Jesus and gets to do good things for his kingdom. I think that was really instrumental for me, and maybe even more so for my parents, just because that they had heard so many bad statistics about recovery, and to see somebody who apparently knew what they were talking about because they'd lived it themselves. She didn't go around telling me her story all the time or anything like that, but I think just knowing that gave me hope. And one thing that she had me do one time for homework was go and find scriptures that related to what I was going through, which to some extent is actually cognitive behavioral therapy. I didn't know that, but that's kind of what I was doing. And so one of the verses that I really clung to, I think, throughout recovery was Romans 12:2, which says, "Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so I really clung to that because I so wanted my brain to be renewed. I think all of us need renewal all the time. That's part of the reason I call this Pause, Renew, Next. But at that time specifically, I just really needed my brain to get washed from all of those yucky, yucky eating disorder, I call it Ed thoughts that liked to pop in all the time, sort of distort my reality. And so I think scripture was a big part of being able to fight those awful thoughts. The other thing that ended up happening and how this changed my life is that it's sort of, I'm not going to say single-handedly because that was not the only reason, certainly, but I ended up becoming a counselor. And partly due to my sweet counselor, I think, and her example, and partly because it gave me a compassion for other people that were going through hard things and an understanding of what that could be like. And I just had a really great psychology professor in college, too, that I fell in love with psychology. So all those things together and the Lord's leading kind of led me into that. So that's why I wanted to share this story. And here are the things I want to leave you with about it. I want to encourage anyone who has a child, maybe, or who personally is struggling with something that they feel like they just can't break. Keep praying, get support, because you never know when that thing might break, and the Lord is capable of great things. So keep praying. The other reason I want to bring that story up is because it has been kind of fundamental to the way that I think about the Lord and my hope for what he can do for people. And so now I am, let's see, I'm 36 years old. So that was almost half my life ago. And I have been in recovery ever since, really. I will not say that I've never, ever, 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 ever struggled with thoughts again, because I certainly have. And especially at times when I get really stressed, I don't know eating disorder necessarily all the time, but certainly negative thoughts. And so recovery is possible. And I'm just so thankful for what the Lord has done for me and what he's taught me about his faithfulness and the extent to which he will go to love us well. And so I hope that that was encouraging to you. So next week, we are going to be talking about the story of Sojourner Truth. She's pretty famous, but I'll be honest, I didn't really know her story. I just knew of her. And I'm going to guess that there's a lot of other people out there who hear that name and think she's familiar, but maybe don't know her story. So you can be looking forward to that. She's got a lot to teach us about faith. Goodness, she had a pretty incredible faith. So we're going to be doing that next week. If you've enjoyed this podcast, and if you know other people that would, please subscribe. I would love for you to subscribe. You can also go and join the Facebook page at Pause Renew Next on the Facebook page. And that's where you can kind of be updated with new podcasts that are coming out. You can also comment on things that you've listened to or start a conversation with other people who have also listened to those podcasts. I would really like to use that as kind of a community page. You can find PRN on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And you can find the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else the podcast can be found. Or, of course, on our website, pauserenewnext.com. Keep an eye out for new blog posts, and new podcasts are released each Tuesday. This is Jenny Detweiler with PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, the podcast. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.